Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4, and verse 18, where Solomon writes, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." There are in the Bible various analogies of the Christian life with things in the natural world. When Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he compared the spiritual life, the new spiritual life, to a birth, being born again. And Jesus spoke of the work of the Holy Spirit as compared to the wind. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. He spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well of the gift of the Holy Spirit, as a well of water springing up to eternal life. And then we have the parable of the seed and the sower. And the good seed falls upon the good ground and prospers and grows and bears fruit. We have the parable of the vine and the branches. And so there are many analogies of the Christian life with the things that we see in the natural world. And that is what Solomon is speaking of here. He compares the journey, the path, the entire pilgrimage life of the righteous to the rising of the sun at dawn, to its increase as it shines brighter and brighter, and finally it reaches its highest point, its zenith, in the brightness of the noonday. These are analogies that are given to help us in our spiritual understanding of the Christian life, because we are familiar with these things in the physical, natural world. And we are certainly familiar with this, because every day of our life there is the dawn of the sun. There is the rising of the sun into the sky, until it reaches its highest point in the brightness of the day at noontime. I said that what we have here are Solomon's words. We do, because Solomon wrote these words, but actually what we really have here is the Word of God. And every word that he has breathed out of his mouth is true. We do not have here a man's ideas. We do not have here a man's understanding of the Christian life. But what we have here is God's own view of the lives of his people. And we should bear that in mind as we come to a passage such as this, that this is God's perspective on the Christian life. This is how he sees it. This is not how we see it, but this is how he sees it. And this is what he wants us to know of who we really are in the Christian life. And this is what he says to us. If we were asked this morning, how would you describe your life as a Christian? And what analogy would you use in the natural world to describe your Christian life? This would certainly be an analogy that we would not think of. The sun rising in the dawn, ascending into the sky until the brightness of the noonday. But this is how God sees us. And this is what he has told us. Because this is how he wants us to see ourselves. And so God here in this verse of Scripture, he does speak to us a word of great encouragement. It is a word of comfort. It is a word that should bring to our hearts as believers great joy. This is our verse this morning, that the path of the righteous is like the dawn of light that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The first thing we need to consider here is, who is the subject of the verse? Who are the righteous that it speaks of? Some Bibles translate it the just. That is a fine translation. It is those who have been justified by faith in the Savior. The Old Testament saints were justified by faith as they look forward to the coming Savior. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the righteous shall live by faith. The New Testament saints, they are justified by faith. They are made righteous as they look back upon the finished work of Jesus, Romans chapter 2, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. And Paul says, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So the righteous here are those who believe in the Savior, and the perfect righteousness of Christ is given to them. They are justified by God. But in our verse, the righteous would certainly also include the manner of life in which a person lives. That these who are justified, they also live in the ways of righteousness. They practice the word of God. The law of God is written in their hearts. They joyfully concur with that law, and his commandments are not burdensome to them. And so these are the righteous here. They are slaves of righteousness. Their desire is to please the God of heaven in all things. And so this is who the righteous are in our verse, justified by faith alone, but then they show their justification by their good works in their life. We may say it this way, that we cannot be saved by our works, but we cannot be saved without them. The verse speaks of the path of the righteous, which is the journey, the pilgrimage, the whole course of their lives from the beginning to the end. It is the journey on which they must travel forward to the celestial city. It is the narrow way that enters, that brings them, leads them to eternal life. And what God does here in this verse is that he looks down from heaven upon the whole span of the Christian life, a panoramic view from the beginning to the end, a divine heavenly perspective upon the path of the Christian. And the God who cannot lie or speak any deception to us, he gives us this most remarkable statement as he compares the life of his people to the dawning of the sun, to its rising brighter and brighter into the heavenly sky, and ultimately to the full brightness of the noonday. The path of the righteous is not like a meteor that suddenly appears in the night sky and flashes brightly but then quickly disappears. The life of the Christian is not like a candle that burns for a little while, but then burns itself out. But the Christian life is compared to the light of the sun. The morning, the dawn of the day, the rising of the sun, higher and higher to the full light of the noonday. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Three things we want to look at this morning in this comparison of the Christian life with the sun. The first is the dawn of the sun, light in the morning. The second is the rise of the sunlight, brighter and brighter. And then third, the sun in its full day. In the first place this morning, the dawn of the sun's light. What lies really behind our verse is the symbolism of light and darkness in the Bible. There is a great moral, spiritual conflict taking place in this world, and the Bible often speaks of that conflict in terms of light and darkness. Light represents what is true and good and right, and darkness represents what is false and evil and sinful. There is the kingdom of light, and in the kingdom of light, God, who is light, and in him who is no darkness, he rules that kingdom of light. And in that kingdom, there is truth, there is holiness, and it is a kingdom of purity and righteousness. But then there is the kingdom of darkness. And Satan rules that kingdom of darkness. He is the prince of darkness, and he has all of the powers of darkness at his disposal. And in his kingdom, it is a kingdom of lies. It is a kingdom of falsehood. It is a kingdom of rebellion and sin. And these two kingdoms, of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of God, are in perpetual conflict in this world. And we see it right in our verse. We have a comparison between the two kingdoms. In verse 18, our verse this morning, we have one who is in the kingdom of light, and he is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. But in verse 19, we have one who is in the kingdom of darkness, and the way of the wicked, he says, is like darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble. We are all born from our mother's womb in the kingdom of darkness, and we all enter life in that darkness. It is not just that we are in the darkness, but that the darkness is in us. There is spiritual darkness within us, and there is spiritual darkness all around us. And our natural path is to live in the ways of darkness, of sin, and rebellion against God. Darkness in our hearts, darkness in our minds, and in the world all around us. And the darkness blinds our eyes so that we cannot see any light of the truth. And we do not know who we are. And we do not know why we are here. And we do not know what life is all about. And we do not know what its end will be. The darkness of sin. The Bible calls us the sons of disobedience, living according to the prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness, and we love the darkness and will not come to the light. And so we live our life for the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. That's the darkness that we are in by nature. But while we are in that darkness, loving the darkness, the most wonderful thing imaginable happens to us. The light of Jesus, the light of Jesus Christ, begins for the first time to shine upon the darkness of our hearts. And that is what we call conversion, and it is the dawn of the sun in the beginning of the day. We can turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And Paul speaks of this dawn of light in our hearts, this conversion. In verse 6, he says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul compares here God's work in the creation, in the first creation, with the even greater work of God in salvation. In the first creation, the earth was covered in darkness, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And Paul, here in the beginning of verse 6, he seems to change those words from the creation slightly, and perhaps giving more of an understanding of what actually took place in that creation. It was not that God was commanding light to shine from outside the darkness into the darkness, but it was God who was commanding light to come out of the darkness. Everything was darkness, and God commanded light to shine out of the darkness. Because he is the God who can create out of nothing, even light out of darkness, and he calls into being things that do not exist, and that's what he did. And then Paul tells us what this same God has done in our hearts. He is the one who has shown in our hearts. In our hearts, first, most importantly, because in our hearts are the citadel and the fortress of the darkness, the center of our being. And when he shines into our hearts, he transforms the entire person. And so that's what God did. He has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was light that he shined into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the light came from the face of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. And Jesus Christ is the exact representation of all of his glory. The glory of God is in Jesus Christ. His face shone upon our hearts, the knowledge, the light of that knowledge of him. And it came through the gospel, Christ shining upon our hearts through the word of God in the gospel. There is a great difference here with the first creation, because in the first creation, the light came by a divine command. And God said, God commanded, "Let there be light." But the light of the new creation does not come by a command. It comes by an incarnation. God himself, who is light, becomes a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and his light shines into our hearts. The first creation, the light was by command. This new creation, the light is by incarnation. But just as in the first creation, it is a supernatural and a sovereign work of God, a conversion by which the divine power of the Holy Spirit in the sovereignty of God upon sinners comes and shines the light of the glory of his Son into our hearts, and light shines now for the very first time in the darkness of our hearts. It is not a human achievement. It is not something that we can accomplish for ourselves. No man can take the darkness of his own heart and turn it into light. It is nothing of ourselves. It is all of God. He shines the light of his beloved Son down into the darkness of our hearts for the very first time. And when he does, we see who we really are in the darkness of our sins for the very first time, and we see his beloved Son as the only Savior, and we run to him, and we embrace him in all that he is. It is the dawn It is the light for the first time that begins to shine upon us in conversion. There may seem to be a struggle for a time between the light and the darkness. And one might wonder, well, who will win? Will the darkness win or will the light win? But just like the rising of the sun rises over the horizon steadily, powerfully. The movement is irresistible, and the brightness of the light continues to rise until finally the dawn has come and the light has shone into our hearts, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when it does, it brings upon us the greatest possible change that there could ever be in this life. The darkness that is within us and all around us is changed most marvelously into light. Things that we never knew even existed, we begin to see more clearly. When the dawn rises in the morning, before the dawn rises, everything is covered in darkness and nothing can be discerned. But then when the light comes, everything is in the light and we can see all things. And this is the way it is in conversion. Things that we never knew existed become real to us. We now begin to see God, the living God, and His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior. We come to know the forgiveness of all of our sins. We come to know peace of conscience and new principles and new desires and new strength is given to us. We begin to walk in new ways. We begin to love new things. We begin to see salvation. We begin to see eternity. We begin to run from that terrible place of darkness in hell. We begin to run toward that glorious city of light in heaven. We are transferred, Paul says, delivered out of that domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Peter says we are called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. This is what happened to us in the dawn of our conversion. It is a glorious work of God in a sunrise every morning. The glorious sun rises. How much more glorious is a conversion where the light of Christ shines upon us for the first time. All the light comes from Jesus. I am the light of the world, he says. And he who follows me, he shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. We are now light in the Lord, and we walk in the light as he is in the light for the first time, and everything is made new. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, he spoke often about this light of the world. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, speaking of the coming Christ, he said, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." He said of his son Jesus in Isaiah chapter 49, "I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." And he said, chapter 60 and verse 2, "Behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear to you." In Luke chapter 1, Zechariah made his prophecy of the coming Jesus. And he spoke of the sunrise from on high shall visit with us. And that's who Jesus is in the dawn of the light in the conversion of the sinner, the sunrise of Jesus comes and shines upon us. So we've seen the dawning of the sun in our conversion. The second thing we want to see is the rising sun, which shines brighter and brighter. And please keep your finger in 2 Corinthians for just a moment. We'll turn back to the book of Proverbs to see our verse once more briefly. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The dawning of the sun is just the beginning of the day. The dawning of the sun must be followed by the upward movement of the sun through the sky. After the sun appears over the horizon, it does not remain on the horizon and sit still, but it begins its great journey, and it ascends higher and higher in its path as it advances across the sky. And there is this movement in the sun. There is this progress. There is this increase as the sun begins to climb through the heavens. And so it is in the life of a Christian. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter till the noon day. Three words we may use in comparison of the Christian life with the sun shining brighter and brighter. And the first is the word progress. We speak here of the progress of sanctification, in which the Christian is always growing in holiness as the sun climbs higher and higher in the sky. So the Christian is advancing. He is moving forward in the ways of Christ. He is being more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. The Bible speaks of a renewal that takes place in us. The old man of darkness and sin has been laid aside. We are new creations, new men and women in Jesus Christ. And Paul speaks of the renewal that takes place. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. He says, in reference to your former manner of life, you laid aside the old man, who is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, who in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. He says in chapter 5 and verse 8, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And he says to the Colossians, you laid aside the old man with his evil practices and have put on the new man, who is being renewed, present into the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So there is this renewal that is taking place. There is this process, this progress in the ways of God. And that's what we'll look at as we go back to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Now in chapter 3, and Paul says in verse 18, he says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, he means in the gospel, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So Paul tells us here that once we have seen the glory of God in the face of Christ, in the gospel, we continue to behold the Lord Jesus in the Word of God. And by beholding him in the gospel, we are being, he says, we are being transformed. an ongoing, continuing, and advancing progress. We are being transformed into the same image, into the same glorious image of Jesus Christ, from glory to glory. From one stage of glory to another stage of glory, just as from the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The sun never sits on the horizon. The sun never sits still in the sky. But the sun is always rising, ascending higher and higher. And so there is this progress in the life of the believer as well. There is no stagnation in verse 18. There is no standing still. There is no diminishing of glory. There is no backward movement here. There is only advance. There is forward movement. There is progress, increase in glory. Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. Forward, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are not saying there are not clouds, sometimes very dark clouds. We are not saying there are not storms that arise and obscure the light and interrupt the progress of the believer, or seem to. And sometimes there are even eclipses which seem to completely extinguish the light of the sun. But even through the clouds and through the storms and above the eclipse, there is still the sun shining and rising in its brightness, higher and higher until the full day. Samuel Rutherford made his famous statement. He said, "Grace grows best in winter." We might change that slightly and say that light increases most in times of darkness. Our setbacks, our struggles and conflicts in the way of holiness and the Christian life are still in the hands of God's providence, and He can make good come out of evil, light out of darkness, and so He uses those times of deepest dark trials as times of still increasing in the knowledge of God and advancing in the things of Christ. The progress may be slow, incremental, often imperceptible to us. But so the rise of the sun is slow as well. If we look at the sun 1 minute, and then we look at the sun the next minute, we will hardly see any change. But if we look at the sun and then look at it an hour or two later, we will see progress, we will see movement in the sun, and so it is in the life of a Christian. If we have been believers for some time, then we ought to be able to look upon our lives and say that we are not today what we were when we were first brought into the light. And we are not today what we even were 10 years ago. There has been a progress, there has been a movement forward in this great work of transformation. We trust in Jesus. Our trust in Him has increased over the years. Our faith in the Scriptures is stronger. We rest more completely, more assuredly in all that Jesus Christ has done for us. Our comfort in the promises is greater. The truth of the Word, the power of the Holy Spirit has entered more deeply into our hearts. We see more wisdom in all of His ways. We have more delight in His law. We have more love to Him and to our brethren, and our submission to Him is easier and more willing. And we see more of the darkness of this world and the vanity and the emptiness of its attractions and our hope to be with Jesus in heaven forever has increased. Paul could say to the Thessalonians, "Your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater." And we have that unbreakable chain of salvation in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, "Whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." That unbreakable chain. And one link must lead to the next link. So there is this always this progress and this movement in the great work of God. Despite the clouds, despite the storms, despite the eclipses and all the struggles and the temptations and the setbacks, there is still this progress and this growth in the Christian life. So our first word to describe the rising of the sun is progress. We'll move more quickly with the next two words. The second word is power. There's great power in the sun. I speak here of the power of perseverance in the life of a Christian. Is there not tremendous power in the sun? So many millions of miles away from us, up in the heavens, yet its light shines down so brightly upon us, our eyes cannot even look at the sun and bear it. We feel its heat burning down from such a great distance away. There is really nothing in this world that is more powerful in nature than the power of the sun. And to us who are so weak, its power seems infinite and unsearchable. Is there any man who has ever been able to stop the sun in its ascent through the heavens? Is there any power able to stop the Christian in his ascent to heaven? Can anyone extinguish the strength of the sun? Can anyone shut down its light? Or can anyone quench its great heat? Is there anyone who can overcome the believer in his path to the celestial city? Has the sun ever failed to reach its zenith? Have any of God's elect ever failed to reach glory? The power of the sun is irreversible, unstoppable, an unrelenting power as it marches toward its final goal in the full day. And so it is with the believer. An omnipotent power is at work in us to strengthen us, to preserve us, power of Christ, through the struggles that we would arrive safely in the eternal kingdom. Peter says, "You are protected by the power of God." Through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. We are protected by the power of God. Has God put more power in the sun Then he puts in the perseverance of the Christian. It cannot be. There is more power from Jesus in the life of a Christian for his perseverance to heaven than there will ever be in the power of the Son. I give them eternal life. I give eternal life to them, Jesus said. They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, he is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, Paul says, Christ is he who died. Yes, rather, he who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will the intercession of Jesus ever fail? He is able to save forever all those who draw near to God through him. The sun never fails to rise to its zenith, and the power of Jesus in God's people never fails to bring us to the goal of the Christian life. Paul said to the Philippians, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began the good work in you will perfect it until the day, the full day of Christ Jesus. Jude says, we are kept for Jesus Christ, preserved for him, he meant, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you to stand in his presence, the presence of his glory, with blameless, with great joy on that day. The power of the Son is very great, and we know that it will reach the full day. But there is a greater power of God in the life of every Christian for his perseverance. So we come to the third word that describes the Christian life as compared to the shining brighter and brighter of the sun. And the third word is glory. Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 15 of the glory of the heavenly bodies and the glory of the sun. There is great glory in the sun as it rises in the morning and shines brighter and brighter to the noonday. We are so accustomed to it, we rarely think upon it. We admire the mountains and the hills of nature and the flowers and so many things in the natural world, but we must not forget the sun. There is glory in the rising of the sun. There is something that is majestic and filled with magnificence and splendor as the sun rises through the sky. What could be more wonderful, magnificent, royal in its power as the sun in the heavens? But this is what God says the Christian life is like. There is a glory, there is a majesty, there is a wonder in the life of a Christian. And that glory, wonder, and majesty is seen especially in the warfare and the conflict that we must go through in this Christian life. We are like lights in the darkness that appear in the world. Paul says to the Thessalonians, you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness, so let us not sleep as others do. Let us be alert and sober. That's who we are. We are not sons of the darkness in the darkness of this world. We are lights, sons of the light, and sons of the day. And we are conquering kings in this world as we conquer sin, as we conquer the devil and his power, as we conquer the temptations of the world. John says, you have overcome the evil one. You have victory, ultimately, over the evil one. He says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 that we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Conquering kings in this present world. We read in Psalm 45 of Jesus, he is the mighty one. He girds his sword upon his thigh. And he rides on in splendor and in majesty. And he rides on victoriously over all his enemies. And because of our union with Jesus Christ, we are riding with him triumphantly in majesty and in glory. There is glory in the life of the Christian. There is glory in the life of the Son. In the rising of the Son, there is glory and majesty in the life of a Christian in this world. Progress. In the sun rising, there is progress. There is power. There is glory. And there are the same things in the life of a Christian. As you hear this description of the Christian life, no doubt you say, I do not feel the glory. I do not feel the victory, the majesty of it all. What I feel is weakness. I feel my weariness. I know my sins and my failures. And you do not feel like the sun that shines brighter and brighter. You would rather say, I feel darkness, and I feel trouble and disappointment and loss. And I agree with all of that. But let me give you two answers to those objections. The first is what we said in the beginning of this message, that here we are before the Word of God. It is God who speaks to us in our passage, and we can turn back there to Proverbs chapter 4. We say we feel darkness, we feel sin, failure, but here in verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the noonday. Here we have God's word to us. So our verse here this morning is not about what we think. And it is not about how we feel. Because here we are before God's word, and we are in God's house, and we have not come to God's house and to God's word to find out how we feel and what we think. We have come to find out what he thinks and what he says in truth about us. We need to come out of ourselves. We need to escape from the prison of our own minds that so often is dark. And we need to come into the light of the truth of the Word of God and see what he says about us. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The second thing that we need to keep in mind here is that what God says here in verse 18, it must be true of the Christian life. It must be a work of glory, majesty, most wonderful work. It must be true because it is the work of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And all the works of the Son of God are majestic and glorious and wonderful works. Glorious in the eyes of God the Father. All of his works in us, in the dawning of the light in our conversion, in the rising of the light in our sanctification, through all the battles and the warfares of this life, putting aside sin, pursuing holiness, repenting from darkness and turning to light, conquering sin, the world, and the devil. It is all glorious in the eyes of God the Father, as we are seeking to perfect holiness in the fear of God, to be holy as he is holy. All of this, this rising that shines brighter and brighter, it is glorious in the eyes of God the Father as he sees the end from the beginning in it all. In his work of the first creation, God rejoiced and said, "It is all very good." But how much more pleased he must be in this work of his new creation. How much more he must rejoice in it because it is the work of his own beloved Son, Jesus, by his life, death, resurrection, intercession, and gift of the Holy Spirit. It is all the work of his beloved Son. And this is what God says as he looks down upon it. He says, "This is the work of my beloved Son, and I am well pleased in all that he has done." And the light, the path of the righteous, is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. So we've seen the dawning of the sun, the rise of the sun higher and higher, and then we come more briefly now to the last point, which is the sun shining in all its brightness in the full day. This is how the verse ends, verse 18. The light of the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Some Bibles read the perfect day. It is the endless day of eternity. It is the day that we are all headed for and will soon be there if we believe in the Lord Jesus, who is the light of that world to come. It is a day of unimaginable light and brightness and happiness and joy and glory. It is a day in which we will be perfectly conformed to the Lord Jesus in all the brightness of his moral purity and holiness, and we will be in heaven, where it is a world filled with the light of holiness and love. It is the new Jerusalem that John talks about in the book of Revelation. The throne of God and of the Lamb are in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see him, and there shall no longer be any night. And they shall not have the need of the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. We have no capacity to even understand it at this present time, what that full day will be like. It is unapproachable light, the Bible says. He dwells in unapproachable light. No man has seen God or can see him. He dwells in that light that is beyond all that we can imagine or conceive or think of. We have no capacity to conceive it. We have no ability to enter into that city of light that is above in the present day, but we will in the resurrection. We will have bodies of power and glory, and we shall see Jesus, and we shall be like him forever. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 43. This is what Jesus said. He tells us the same thing. "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." So verse 18, we have the whole journey of the Christian life. From darkness into light. And then from light unto light, always shining brighter and brighter until we come to the full day. There is another path that is not a path of life or light. It is a path of darkness, spoken of in verse 8:19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. There are two ways, two paths in this world with two entirely different ends, and every one of us is on one or the other. We cannot be on both at the same time. If you are not on the path of light that leads to the celestial city and follows Christ, then you must be on the path of darkness that leads to eternal outer darkness forever and ever. If you continue on your path of sin, if you continue to walk in darkness, you will end up in that eternal darkness. And when you do, there is no turning back, there is no recovery, there is no remedy, there is no escape from that place of outer darkness. A most terrible path, a most terrible end. But today there is hope. Today there is salvation. Today Christ shines in the light of the gospel. His light is seen in his word. And he calls all to come out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. And if you turn from your sins, he will give you grace, strength, to enter his kingdom of light and begin to walk on this pathway that leads into the eternal kingdom. It is the only way of happiness. It is the only way of peace and joy in this life and in the life to come. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the noonday. Let's pray. Father and gracious God in heaven, O Lord, thank you for the great mercy that there is in your beloved Son, the most astonishing works of salvation for us, to deliver us, forgive us, rescue us out of the darkness of this world, out of the darkness of our sin and confusion, and bring us into his marvelous light. O Lord, how glorious is the light of the Lord Jesus in this world. Have mercy upon each one of us. For any who do not know the Savior, Lord Jesus, may they come and find him today, and may the light of the gospel shine upon their hearts. And for us who do know you, we pray, Lord Jesus, help us and give us grace and strength that we might see your word fulfilled in all of our lives. Have mercy upon us for many setbacks, many failures, but thank you that there is such a great power in our Savior to rescue us from all dangers and sin. We pray that you would hear us now and bless your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen.